Oh, here he comes! Minister!
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 How are you? Minister, answer, how's your wife?
Answer the question, Minister!
Counterclockwise, thanks to scoop.co.nz.
Good afternoon, Selwyn.
Yeah, good day, Will. How are things?
Things are well. It's sunny up here in Auckland, and it's the last sitting day for the House for Parliament for this year today.
It's kind of like that, I think. Yeah, there's so many MPs leaving the House that I thought maybe, Will, we can kind of rattle through some of them, make mention of all the ones who have spoken already with their valedictory speeches to Parliament, and perhaps focus in on a few that are significant.
Yeah, well, I was thinking about this earlier because there's been sort of a little stream of news stories recently with these valedictory speeches, people saying their last goodbyes, I suppose. And it seems like there is a lot of people leaving at the end of this term. Is it unusually high, or I haven't been around long enough to notice?
I haven't done the big count, in comparison count, but it does seem like quite a few. If we look at it, we've got Sue Kedgley. She did her valedictory speech last Tuesday. On the following Wednesday, we had Mita Rurinui. We had Keith Lock that same day. On the Thursday last week, there was Ashraf Chowdhury, Heather Roy, Sir Roger Douglas and George Hawkins. Tuesday, there was Lynn Pillay, Pete Hodgson, Jim Anderson. And Wednesday, there was Sandra Goody, Georgina Tuhuhu, and Dr. Wayne Maff and Simon Power. So it's a real, there's quite a list there. And it might be, that some of those, the National Party ones, you can only guess, everyone's got many, many reasons for leaving a particular job. And it might be, that some of those in the centrist area, like Simon Power, I know there was personal reasons for him leaving as well. But it might be that the centrists are starting to lose their hold on power in the National Party, that things are moving more to the right. Leaving Simon Power, Wayne Mapp and Bill English, pretty much exposed. Bill English is still obviously going to stay there, but some of the others going. But getting back to it, if we look at perhaps Sue Kedgley, well, and we just kind of look at that in brief. And Sue Kedgley, what she has stood for in her time in Parliament. She's been there a wee while.
She was one of the first, when the Greens first came into Parliament, she was one of the first of those original MPs, wasn't she?
Yeah, and an interesting person. She's worked in all sorts of areas before Parliament, certainly knew her foreign affairs, although she wasn't a spokesperson for foreign affairs, even knew the UN Secretary-General Ban Ki-moon, as I understand. So Sue Kedgley's had an interesting kind of
As a golfing career. Buddy or something, she...
And, I guess what she represented in the Green side was, she was a spokesperson for health, but she really got into those areas of food security, food safety, labelling of foods, things like that. And you've got to look at these MPs and give them credit, I think, when they've stood up for something that they're passionate about and they've actually been labelled as, the person who really does know all about those kind of areas, Sue Kedgley in that area. Mita Rurinui, he was most prominent, I suppose, back when Labor first took the Treasury benches at the end of 1999. He never made significance in Cabinet, in a sense, but what he did do at that stage is he represented the people in the Bay of Plenty, his Māori constituencies, very well in those early years. He fell out of favour, I suppose, in a sense, with the rise of the Māori Party and lost his seat there, and then Labor propped him up on the party list for a time. So he's bowing out. He's done his job, and that's that. Keith Lock, now, what an amazing guy. Keith has come from a family of very, very wonderful people who have stood up for ideals and principles going back, generations. And Keith Lock, there's a train going past. Well, might be a bit loud. But Keith Lock, he has stood up in Parliament on so many issues and said, the current thinking on this is just plain wrong. It's unjust, and he'll point out an injustice without actually taking on board any kind of backlash or impact that he might suffer as a consequence of it. You've got to think, Ahmed Zawi case, it would not have had the exposure in Parliament that it did if it wasn't for Keith Lock and also another parliamentarian, Matt Robson, who isn't in Parliament now but was a attached to first the Alliance and then the Progressive Party. Keith Lock and Matt Robson really, really did take it on the chin so many times by speaking, you know, on ideals of justice relating to that case.
It's interesting with the, you know, the smaller parties, the Greens, Sue Kedgley and Keith Lock are the last remaining pair of those original MPs, and they're going. And with ACT, ACT as a political force have been dwindling for a while. And of course, Jim Anderton, who is the party in and of himself. So the small parties are really up for, because they have a smaller number of people there, it's a real change on that front.
It is a big change here. The Greens are certainly, it is the old guard gone, and it's over to the new generation of Green MPs. There's some standouts starting to show, and I guess what most of us know the Green Party leadership, so I won't go into that. But you look at Kevin Haigh there. You know, we don't see an awful lot of Kevin Haigh, perhaps, in the last 3 years. We didn't see a lot of Kevin Haigh in the last 3 years, I should say. But when we have, he is dynamic. He's a real intelligent guy there, and there's some depth and future for the Greens. When you look beyond their leaders and you see people like Kevin Haigh sitting there, that guy could lead that party, no trouble at all. He's a former chief executive of the District Health Board down on the west coast of the South Island, but did his bones up here in Auckland. You know, this is where he learnt his politics. He was very big in Auckland University politics going back into the early 80s and was significant in the Springbok, anti-Springbok tour movement in Hart at that time. And even, I think, represented a lot of people who were charged during the Springbok tour. He represented them as a very young man and not qualified in court, defending their interests. So he's an interesting guy, Kevin Haigh. I'd say look out for him. But getting back to these valedictory speeches, you know, on that was Keith Lock we were mentioning there. If we move into, on the Thursday last week, there was Ashraf Chowdhury. Now, we very cruelly, we labelled him the politician that wheezes, and that's about all you'll hear from him in Parliament when he's there. I can't really think too much more about what Ashraf Chowdhury has done apart from sitting there and occasionally wheezing and putting the odd flaky kind of patsy question to his ministerial
that's a harsh summary there.
So he's a Labour MP that perhaps they can well do with replacing.
One thing... One of the Labour MPs I was thinking about was Pete Hodgson, who I didn't realise had been around for what, 30 years or something?
He's held
almost every portfolio in the book. You don't see him much these days.
I mean, going back into the mainstay of when Helen Clark was Prime Minister, you know, those big years, Pete Hodgson was very much a strategist and behind the scenes there of how they would pitch their election policies or election year kind of politics. He was a big thinker in that regard. But going back when they were in opposition in the 1990s, Pete Hodgson started to rise there, and he had some pretty... important kind of messages. Even in the environment area, Pete Hodgson was very active. And, some who are interested in ecology and migratory kind of things, I remember Pete Hodgson in the 1990s raised this big issue, how developments in Japan with Fukuoka in particular at that time, these island kind of constructions that were going on, and they were knocking off the feeding grounds for the migratory bird, the godwit. And he was right on the money there, you know, that the godwits would stop there, have a bit of a feed before they headed back down to New Zealand from their Siberian migration. And there was a drop-off in numbers. They're back in big numbers, obviously, now. But it was a big point and a big debate that was going back there about how development and these other kind of huge economies overseas would have an impact on the natural environments of these migratory birds. So, you know, he's not just a New Zealand-thinking kind of politician. Pete Hodgson was quite an interesting guy.
Yeah.
We saw, you know, Jim Anderton on Tuesday speaking. Now, that man, you know, he's made such a huge contribution to New Zealand politics. Irrespective of where people sit on the economic spectrum, this guy, he knew how to look after his constituency. I saw it myself a number of times.
Well, they keep putting him back in, don't they?
they keep putting him back in. You know, and there was the flooding issues back in the early 2000s down around Queenstown and things. Now, you know, Jim Anderton, he was Deputy Prime Minister back then, and he was also obviously the leader of the Alliance and then the Progressives. But, you know, Queenstown perhaps wouldn't be his natural constituency. But I tell you what, that guy stood up and he made sure that you know, Queenstown was heard on making sure that the flooding and things like that was addressed and they were protected from any bureaucracy that was going to inhibit progress on that. He's an amazing guy, and, you know, we've got to respect people who have given so much. You know, his family has given so much too, and Jim's sacrifice is one that it's a humbling thing to kind of observe. His contribution to law and legislation in this country, and putting an element of social justice into the mix of politics has been a good one. And for those at the end of, you know, his barbs in Parliament and his dry but attacking wit, you know, they know that they've got a particular strong opponent there in Jim Anderson, so he'll be sadly missed.
Well, before we run out of time, Salen, there are a few names leaving from National as well, and you've talked about maybe a shift in the kind of the tone of National Party from the centrists maybe moving away, thinking they're getting sort of quietly shuffled out. Can you give us who should we look out for? Who's going to be, you know, have an influence of those that are coming through to replace those that are moving out?
Yeah, well, the two main significant ones, the foreign National, yes, Sandra Gouey, Georgina Tehuhu, Dr. Wayne Mapp and Simon Powell. The two most significant there for the progress in the future is Wayne Mapp and Simon Powell. Wayne Mapp's message, Will, was clearly that he felt as Minister of Defence in bowing out from that position that we really should continue our efforts up in Afghanistan. Now, that's a polarised issue, and there are many who would say, no, mate, we shouldn't have been there in the first place and we should be out now. But his message was, we've got to stay the course until we're no longer needed. Simon Power, Minister of Justice, he's been reforming for the last 3 years. Many debates have circled on that, and he gave quite an interesting valedictory speech yesterday where he was saying there's much more reform that needs to be taken from here on, and passing that torch over to his other National Party colleagues. Now, he was saying that his focus was very much on trying to put it right for the victims of crime. That he made a comment in his speech along the lines of, far too often, recourse through the law for the victims of crime took an age and they had to relive it over and over again, meaning having to relive that crime over and over again before an outcome was found. And he was saying that wasn't good enough and that was at the basis of all his reform. So that was quite an interesting thing from Simon Power, and it shows that some of these MPs, these cabinet ministers, when we've criticised them for different things, they do actually have a heart. We might not agree with their outcomes, but sometimes their motivations are quite honourable. Just one, a couple others, just really quickly. Sir Roger Douglas bowing out. Now, his speech, he never really reflected back on his time in ACT. It was much more of the glory days when he was Mr. Rogernomics, the creator of the neoliberal economic framework that we have even evolving today. Now, his was an interesting wander into the past. George Hawkins, as an MP in the Labour caucus, when they were in opposition in the 1990s, nobody put the police under pressure like George Hawkins did in his heyday. And the country owes George Hawkins a huge debt of gratitude for putting the police back on track in many respects when he became police minister. Instead of this mirror glass corporate image that the police were pursuing, it was back to the beat and trying to knock crims off committing crime. And that's a thanks to George Hawkins. That continues that kind of culture with Judith Collins, the current Minister of Police. So some interesting people there, Will, and it'll be a different parliament, obviously, after these elections in November. Some good ones gone, some others that have kind of, in my view, sat on their chair and breathed, you know, their way through their time, and taking up a seat where many others who are champing at the bit to kind of represent people could have been there.
Hey, well, thanks for that today, Salen. You're a kinder man than some journalists might be to our politicians. But as you say, there are some people who spend a lot of time there who are now going to be gone. So it'll be interesting year next year with the new members. Thank you very much, Salen. We'll talk to you again same time next week.
Okay, well, take care. Bye.
It's 47 minutes past midday here on The Wire. Just handed to me in breaking news, the news that Steve Jobs, who is the, you will know as the co-founder of Apple and the man who changed what's in your pocket, has died at the age of 56. He's been battling pancreatic cancer for a long time, as you know, and he's just handed over the reins of Apple in recent months. So he must have known about that. And it's a sad day for people who had followed him through his career and seen